This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
So there's no way that the Dolphins and the Chargers, they don't take quarterbacks, right? There's no way.
They have to.
They have to take a quarterback. Like, is there a world where the Dolphins say, okay, we're going to take the best player available because we're still just building. We're building culture here with Brian Flores, and we're just building with all of our draft picks, and we'll worry about a quarterback later.
Tank for Trevor, right? Can't you?
Well,
tank for Trevor?
Hold on. This team was too good this year to tank for Burrow or Tua. Think about it. They could literally
be tanking for Tua. Like, that's what they did. They tanked for Tua. They're in the perfect spot right now to take Tua.
Well, only because of the medicals, right? Like, if Tua wasn't ever hurt, he wouldn't be.
They'd be
selected fifth.
They'd be.
And if
I'm trying to, if you're come the up Chargers, with a creative rhyme for Joe Burrow,
like the Chargers are hoping that people are scared by the medicals so they can land him, right?
They'd be junk for Joe.
But that, I suppose, but the. The Dolphins are too good for that.
Tank for Tua, junk for Joe.
Let's talk to Chris Trapazzo from CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Trapazzo here on ESPN 1000. Black and Abdallah with you, Chris. And when you take a look at Tua and where he's going to land in the top 10, how do you think it kind of falls with the Dolphins, the Chargers, and kind of everyone in all the movement around maybe the medicals with Tua Tagovailoa?
Yeah, I think everything that you guys were just saying makes perfect sense regarding Tua and the Dolphins, that they did try to tank in terms of their roster, and they still won five games. I think the players played very hard for Brian Flores last year, especially down the stretch. I mean, beating the Patriots with Tom Brady in that final game, I think a lot of people forget that, that Ryan Fitzpatrick led them to that victory. With 14 draft picks in this draft, and then two first-rounders next year, two second-rounders, they have all the ammunition in the world to trade up to get Tua. I think the Brian Flores, Matt Patricia connection with the Lions at pick number three, that makes the most sense to me. And usually teams are a little bit hesitant to trade up because they don't want to trade future assets. But with how much the Dolphins have in terms of an abundance of draft capital, I think they will ultimately get it done. And you guys are right. The Chargers want teams to be afraid of Tua's medicals, so they could land him at six, but I think they would be happy with Justin Herbert, too.
From what you've seen from Tua in the pro day and the workout that he had earlier this week, what do you make of him and what he can do on the next level?
I think he can be one of the better young quarterbacks in the league. I don't buy into the fact that he is this, like, generational, next Drew Brees, like, best quarterback prospect that we've seen in a long time, and that's even without the medicals. It's very hard to evaluate him because he played behind probably four or five future first-round offensive linemen when you talk about some of the players that went back to Alabama. Obviously, the receivers was the best receiver group in the country. Multiple first-rounders there could even be up to four. So to throw him into a situation that's probably not going to be perfect from a team picking inside the top five or top seven, it's going to be a new scenario for him. But I do think he's very accurate. He knows how to get through his reads. And everything that I've heard, it's not about will he be healthy enough to play as a rookie. It's just can he stay healthy, because he was unable to do that during his short stint at Alabama.
Chris Trapazzo from CBS Sports talking with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. When you look at Justin Herbert, we've kind of seen him bounce around on draft boards. The senior from Oregon, he played really well, but I think a lot of people had higher expectations for him coming into the season. How do you kind of project out Herbert at the next level?
I think he's not that far behind Tua Tagovailoa, but for different reasons. Tua gives you more accuracy. Justin Herbert gives you a much better arm. I think he gives you more scrambling ability, and that with Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, the ability to extend plays is becoming very trendy in the NFL today, that the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Bradys and the Drew Breeses, they're either retired or they're nearing the end of their career, and that we've seen the ability to extend plays is very important. Herbert gives you more of that. But you're right that his senior season, there were so many expectations, but his head coach, Mario Cristobal, who's a former offensive lineman, wanted to just run the football and play good defense. They didn't really take the reins off Justin Herbert. I thought he was better as a sophomore and a junior. So, yes, there are some hiccups with him, but I think his potential is probably higher than Tua Tagovailoa.
There was a report yesterday that a few NFL teams are calling Matt Wells about Jordan Love. What do you make of Jordan Love and his rise up the draft board in this offseason so far? He's gone from what some believe a middle of the second round pick to now maybe being taken 10, somewhere in the top 10.
Yeah, I think I would probably be someone that would have contributed to that rise, because I first viewed him as a, you know, early second, maybe mid second round pick, just because there were some decision making problems on film. But going back to rewatch him after the combine, which is what I do for a lot of these kind of enigma prospects, I really liked a lot more from what I saw from him. That I do believe the Patrick Mahomes stylistic comparisons are good. That it's not crazy to see some of the stuff he does and instantly think of Patrick Mahomes. And not that I believe that Patrick Mahomes would have been a bad quarterback had he landed elsewhere besides Kansas City, but I do believe that he has certainly been accentuated under Andy Reid with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. I think Jordan Love is the biggest boomer bust quarterback, that he might be a light version of Patrick Mahomes in 2 years, or he could be on his second or third team, because there are some mistakes in terms of reading coverages, has a problem not seeing underneath defenders, but then he can just flick the ball down the field 40 yards on the run and put it in the bucket. So that's kind of the book on him, that you're safer with Tua, you're safer with Justin Herbert, but Jordan Love is very boomer bust.
The Bears are kind of in an interesting spot. They make the trade for Nick Foles. They have Mitchell Trubisky. Yet the quarterback room for the future is not necessarily set up. In the second round, they have 2 second-round picks. Is there a quarterback that could be available that the Bears should look into as maybe a project quarterback that they could maybe groom into their starter in the future?
In the second round, I would say no. That I think this is a very top-heavy quarterback class. I really like Joe Burrow. Like I said, I think Tua is very good. I don't think he's unreal as a prospect, but can be a franchise quarterback. I like Justin Herbert. Certainly boomer bust with Jordan Love. I think he should go in the first round because the talent is there. After that, it's a pretty big drop-off. I like Jacob Eason from Washington because he's 6'6". He's going to have one of the top 3 or 4 strongest arms in the league right away. But I think if you're in the Bears situation, if you're Matt Nagy, if you're Ryan Pace, yes, you want to think toward the future. But with maybe your jobs potentially being on the hot seat somewhat, you want to use those 2 second-round picks for guys that are going to come in right away and contribute as rookies. Later in the draft, if Jake Fromm falls a little bit, if Jalen Hurts is there from Alabama, who can give you some of that improvisational element to the quarterback position. But in the second round, there's usually, you know, a few pretty refined or polished quarterbacks that might not have all the physical tools or vice versa. But I'm just a little bit lower on the second tier, so to speak, of the passers in this class.
What about even later in the draft, if they do take, you know, difference makers right now, you know, whether it's wide receiver, safety, corner in that second round, is there a quarterback later in the draft that they could get, like an Anthony Gordon, someone of that caliber?
Yeah, the guy that I really like is Tyler Huntley from Utah. That he was not a high-volume passer at Utah. They ran the ball a lot with Zach Moss, who's going to be one of the first probably 4 or 5 running backs off the board. They played great defense. But you watch his film, and to notice the intricacies of what makes a good quarterback, he has a lot of those. He has good downfield accuracy. He does not instantly drop his eyes and run out of the pocket when he feels pressure. He can keep his head up and drift around in the pocket a little bit. It's just that he's just relatively inexperienced, because he only had, I believe, 2 games where he threw over 35 times. It was a lot of play action. But I think as someone that really started his career as mostly a scrambler, he took a big step as a passer during his senior season. A little bit smaller, doesn't have a crazy good arm. But I think day 3, 4th, 5th, 6th round, that's someone that I think Matt Nagy would like because he does have the scrambling ability, and he certainly is good off play action down the field.
Going back to 2018, I thought Derwin James heading into the draft was one of the best players on paper heading into the draft, and he fell to 17th in the first round. Is there someone on your draft board that you look at and you say, you know, projecting out, this guy's going to be an all-pro, he's going to be a stellar NFL player, but for some reason, it doesn't seem like this guy will be selected in the top five, top 10 of picks?
Yeah, that's, first off, a really good point. Why Derwin James fell to number 17 overall to the Chargers, I will never know. That's like one of the biggest mysteries. His tape was so clean. He had such a great combine. I'll go with a one a little bit off the radar. Curtis Weaver, an edge rusher from Boise State. He's in my top 25 overall prospects. 3 years of insane production. Yes, it was in the Mountain West. But from his freshman season on, he just produced over double-digit sacks, close to 50 tackles for loss. And watching his film, you see speed off the line of scrimmage. He can bend and flatten to the quarterback. He's not getting pushed past the quarterback. And he has a good variety of pass rushing moves. Plus, he's 6'3", 265 pounds, so he has an NFL body. Everyone I've spoke to believes that he's going to probably go in the second round. But as that stand-up outside linebacker that can just be a pass-rushing specialist, I think in 3 or 4 years we're going to say, why didn't Curtis Weaver go in this first round?
Thanks, Chris. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Chris Trapazzo from CBS Sports joining us talking NFL draft. You know, when you look at Derwin James, remember heading into the draft? He certainly was one of those players that everyone talked about. Somehow he fell to 17th for the Chargers.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. Was it an injury concern?
No.
Or was it just like he's just nothing?
He's a great player heading into the draft. People think too much about this stuff. Interesting also. No one available quarterbacks in the second round for the Chicago Bears. Interesting.
Well, I mean,
well, short-term game, yes. But at some point, the Bears are going to have to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's going to be, I agree with what Chris said. I think that it's going to be someone that is going to make an instant impact on the field because they have to save their jobs at this point.
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Bleka. Abdallah's dad got emailed this week.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.